Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Because they really do truly care more about abortion than actually having the Democratic Party win.
This was not a good faith effort to get someone to bake a cake that meant a lot to him. He was trolling Jack Phillips. And you know who's trolling Jack Phillips now also? The state of Colorado.
It violates the narrative that the mainstream media has chosen, which is the only way you can ever write about homosexuality is with gays as victims of oppression.
It is a horrendous act of pastoral malpractice to deprive the congregation of the content of the small catechism.
Confessional Lutheran missionary campus pastors love Issues Etc.
Jesus is talking about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18. He has a parable, a rather stern parable, a disturbing parable about a servant who is forgiven an enormous debt and then turns around and for a relatively minuscule debt demands payment of himself. That servant ends up in prison, and he ends up in prison with the original debt that had been forgiven him reimposed. What is Jesus telling us about the forgiveness that God gives us, the forgiveness that is extended by God through us to others who sin against us? The same Jesus who says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18. Pastor Tom Baker of Long Gospel will be our guest. After that, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Paul McCain, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Our series on the Lutheran Confessions continues. Today, we'll be in Luther's Small Catechism. We did a bit of an introduction last time. We'll get into the content of the First and Second Commandments with Pastor McCain a little bit later on Issues Etc. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Give us some context here. The parable appears while Jesus is already talking about forgiveness in the 18th chapter of Matthew.
Yes. I consider this to be one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, parable to apply simply because of its misuse many a time. It's in the context where Jesus just talked about the parable of finding a lost sheep, and then he talks about if your brother sins against you, tell him his fault, and if he doesn't listen, then go to the church. And finally, regard him as a tax collector or a Gentile. It's at that point that Peter asks him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Now, Peter knows that a number of rabbis in his day said that you should forgive someone three times. So he's more than doubling that. But Jesus comes back and says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, that'd be 490, but it really is a way in which Jesus is using language to indicate that it should be unlimited the number of times that you are to forgive. Then Jesus talks about a parable about a king who settled accounts with his servants. One came to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, usually you made a denarius a day, and if you could get to 6,000 denarii, that paid off one talent. Therefore, 10,000 talents to pay that off, at a denarii a day, you'd have to work for 200,000 years. One talent alone is worth over $1,400,000. So the master has compassion on him, and he forgives him the debt. Now, when this fella who owed 200,000 years of debt was forgiven, he runs into one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and you could probably pay that off in about 3 months. And he said, pay what you owe. And the same words were heard from this servant, have patience with me, I will pay you. But he refused that and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Now, the other fellow servants heard what had taken place, and they were greatly distressed and went and reported to the master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned this fellow who had this huge debt forgiven, calls him a wicked servant, and I forgave you, you pleaded with me, should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. And Jesus says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brothers from your heart. And so that's the context, and that's the meaning, or shall we say, the parable itself.
You had mentioned the misuse of this parable. What were you talking about there, Tom?
The way I try and discover whether a congregation member is misusing the scripture, I will ask them a question. And the question I ask when we're doing this parable, I say, do you know any members in the congregation that have not forgiven someone? And I'll start getting a list of individuals. For example, well, I know one of our members, he's an employee, and he did not get promoted. He has not forgiven his boss. Or I know a fellow who bought a car from a car salesman, and it was a clunker. He hasn't forgiven the car salesman. And then you may have a young lady who was abused by her father. She doesn't want to be around him. She hasn't forgiven him. Now, when I hear that, I'm hearing something that I don't think the parable is really talking about. I believe that a lot of people do not understand what forgiveness is. They think that once you forgive someone, that means you're to be loving towards them, you want to be friends with them again, etc. But the Bible is very clear what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is when you have agreed not to get even. For example, in Romans 12:19, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. That means get even for something that's been done wrong to you. But rather give place to wrath, to whom? For vengeance is mine, says God. I am the one who will repay. I had an example. I drove yellow cab years ago, and one day I got robbed. I got hit in the head with a gun. They took my cash. They took my watch. And then they started running away. There were three young men. I had a choice. I could have gunned the car and ran them over. Or instead, I forgave them and went right to the police station. We need to understand that a lot of times when we think that maybe we ourselves have not forgiven someone, that therefore Jesus is not going to forgive us. But we need to understand that forgiveness doesn't mean that our attitude changes toward them or that we now want to be friends with them and hang around with them, etc. No, it is an agreement on our part that we are not getting even. So when I talked to an employee who did not get promoted, I said, well, what are you doing at work? Are you not doing your job? Are you trying to get even with your boss because of what he did to you? And the reply is no. No, I'm not that way. I just feel really bad, and I don't like him very much. In the verses right before this, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 18, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. What does it mean that he listens to you? Let's say you had done something to him and he's not happy with you at all. But he's not getting even with you. If he doesn't listen to you, it means that he does not repent and is sorry for what he did, even though he may still hold a grudge against you, etc. Then you go tell it to the church. And if at that point he refuses to listen to even to the church, then regard him as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, who are we regarding as a Gentile and a tax collector? We're regarding someone who does not have faith. This is really important to understand that when Jesus is asked by the disciples, you know, what can we do in order to get to heaven? He doesn't say, do works. He says, believe in me. And so I often find in congregations I've worked with, people who think they haven't forgiven and they're really worried about this passage from the Lord's Prayer. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. So how do I comfort them? I say you have two kinds of sins, sins of commission, where you commit something, and sins of omission. A sin of commission is forgiven. That's why Jesus died on the cross. But what is the antidote to a sin of omission, where you're saying, boy, I don't really feel like forgiving that person? Jesus dresses you in his robe of righteousness. So the main point I'm looking at is whether people still believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has forgiven them. And therefore, they may have terrible views against someone else and think they haven't forgiven them, when in reality, from God's point of view, they have in two ways. The first way is they're not planning vengeance against the person. That's a way of showing they've forgiven. And the second way is having the robe of Christ's righteousness on. Christ has already forgiven them in their place, and therefore heaven is still their home. The only people we excommunicate are not those who say, boy, I don't like that person, or I just can't stand this person. No. We excommunicate those who are trying to take God's wrath upon a person by themselves, personally, rather than let God's way of doing it through even the police force, the government, etc. We're not permitted to take wrath. And when a person realizes that, they still may not like the person, etc., but from my point of view, they have forgiven them, and those other sins, they're taken care of by means of the forgiveness of sins. If you look at the parable carefully, this individual who got forgiven 200,000 years of work was an unbeliever. And we need to be very careful when we say that either someone else we know is not forgiven or I'm not forgiving someone, because a lot of times we have forgiven in God's sight because we're not taking wrath. We're letting God take care of it. But we just have a bad feeling towards the person. And that may reside in us the rest of our life. But it is not a damnable sin in that sense.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18. When we come back, it's a common situation. Any parish pastors run into it many times. A parishioner comes and says, I want to forgive. I know I should. I pray to be able to forgive. I still harbor some resentment. We'll talk about that after this.
Thank God for forgiveness. I don't know how else we can get along without forgiveness.
You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, President of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/hr.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Ask the average evangelical about infant baptism, and they are likely to emphatically tell you that is a man-made doctrine, man-made practice. The Bible nowhere teaches it, and the Bible does not tell us to baptize our infants. Is this true?
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be opening up the scriptures and looking at who the scriptures say baptism is for. We'll take a look at the doctrine of original sin and how it relates to infant baptism. And we'll also take a look at the benefits of baptism, who's doing the work, and even take a look at a biblical account of baptismal regeneration.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for infant baptism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18 as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, before the break, you were talking about being able to distinguish, and it's not always that easy, but being able to distinguish between forgiveness and simply harboring resentment, as however unintentional it might be, against those who have sinned against us. Any parish pastor who spent any time around his people runs into this situation on a regular basis. Someone might come, perhaps in an extreme case, to say, look, I had an abusive father. I cannot have any contact with him any longer. He's a terrible person. I, as a Christian, I want to forgive him. I pray to forgive him. I try to forgive him. I often fail, and I simply cannot let him be around me or my family or my children. That's a rather common situation. What would you say to such a inquiry?
That is an excellent example, Todd. You just quoted Romans 7. Paul says, I know what I'm supposed to do. That's the good within me, but to find the ability to do it, I'm unable to do it. Who will deliver me from this bondage of death? And Romans 8 says, there's now no condemnation in you, because such a person hasn't lost their faith in Jesus Christ. They just have such a problem with the old Adam that they are like Paul, unable to do what they know they should be doing. And so it's really important that that distinction you made is clear to the laity, because apart from that, they will begin to dread that heaven is not their home, Jesus isn't there for them, because they're not acting the way Jesus would, they think. But I'll tell you this, how do you think those folks who were being whipped in the temple felt when Jesus went through the temple? Did they look to Jesus and thank him for what he was doing? No. Some of them even planned his crucifixion. So sometimes God appears to deal harshly with us because of our sin, as Jesus did in the Jerusalem temple. And other times our old Adam just keeps us from being able to do what we know we should. And that's why repentance over that, as you mentioned, I wish I could forgive to the point where we could be friends again, but I'm unable to do that. I believe they've already forgiven because they're not getting even, but they also are recognizing their sinful nature and how difficult it is. Remember, Lutheran theology, law and gospel. If there's one thing we hear when we hear the law, is that none of us can obey any part of the law perfectly. So I don't understand these people who say, okay, if you kill someone, you're forgiven. If this happens, you're forgiven. But if you don't forgive somebody the way you think you should, then heaven is not your home. That is true for an unbeliever, and the church can discover whether they're doing that out of unrepentance without any hope of forgiving, or whether it is just part of the old Adam that we confess every Sunday a lot of times, that I'm a poor, sinful nature deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment.
And that's distinct, isn't it, Tom, from the person who says, I refuse to forgive them. I not only cannot restore the relationship, but I refuse to even desire to. I will harbor resentment against them. I will seek vengeance against them.
That's the person that needs to come under the discipline, and particularly of Matthew 18, where you go to the person, discuss with them. At our congregation, we did that, and then I would take an elder or two on the second visit, and sometimes you have to visit for about a year, and then finally, if there was still that kind of attitude that you just expressed, then you take it to the church, because they have shown that they do not have the Holy Spirit because of such an unrepentant attitude, particularly where they want to continue to bring wrath down on the person.
Then the end of this parable is pretty bad. It doesn't have a happy ending, and that's a tough one to teach to Sunday school children. How would you deal with that issue, Tom?
I would deal with it in a way in which you would use, again, another analogy that they may be more familiar with, that you may have two dogs. And the one dog is really a wonderful dog. People come over, they jump on them, they play with them, they can be petted, etc. But the other dog won't stop biting whoever comes near him. No family is going to leave a biting dog that cannot be trained properly in their family, especially if they have children. So they may remove them to the adoption agency, or give them to somebody who maybe can train them not to do that. But in that sense, you ask the children, when you remove that dog, is that a wrong thing to do? And they'll say, no, not if they're biting everybody. Well, what happens is Jesus is saying there are people like that who will continue to bite and bring wrath down on those whom they think have hurt them. I mean, all you have to do is watch detective stories that are really prevalent on the radio today, and you'll see people taking vengeance all the time, and of course, getting arrested for it, etc. But they're not sorry for what they did. because they don't have Christ within them. And that's a huge difference. So I would use an analogy like that to get the children to understand, yes, we need to no longer have such a dog within our house.
One thing that the kids might also need to be instructed in with respect to this is they might worry that if their parents discipline them when they've done something wrong, that means their parents don't forgive them. How would we best teach these children about there are roles in this life? You mentioned police. Their job is to take vengeance on behalf of others. Their job is to discipline on behalf of others. And parents have that role at times as well.
Yes, again, I'd use an analogy they are familiar with. A lot of advertisements now that school has begun again is saying to the parents, do not start your car vehicle until your kids are buckled up. And if the kids are not buckled up, you actually could be pulled over by the police and get a ticket. Does that mean the police hate you? No. We just heard of an accident where three teenagers died in it and one did not. The one that did not die in the car accident was one who had his buckle on. The other three did not. And so, yeah, you may not like to put on a buckle. It takes time, etc. You're only going a few blocks where most accidents can occur close to home. But get the children to understand that I'm not going to start the car till you have your buckles on. And that's because I love you. And I know it's something you don't want to do. You can't turn around. You can't play as much. But it's out of love that we do this so you will not hurt yourself. And God acts that way in the church. Remember, excommunication is a loving act to bring someone who appears to have lost the Holy Spirit, rejected Jesus, back into the church through faith in our precious Savior.
Finally then, Tom, with the last few minutes left to us, one of the stunning things about this parable is the size, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, the size of the debt that the king forgave without condition, simply because the man could not pay. It was solely an act of sheer mercy. Talk about how that applies to each and every one of us.
Yes, that's definitely a point that the Sunday school teacher wants to get across, telling them, let's say that you were to take out the garbage, your dad gives you a dollar a day, but then in order to go and live by yourself, you have to work for your father for 200,000 years. Well, guess what? That's what Jesus has taken away from you. You have no debt to pay God the Father any longer because he took that punishment upon himself when he died on the cross. And that's why the words he says from the cross can be directly attributed to the children in your Sunday school. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And therefore, they can rejoice that because of their baptism, they have definitely received the gift of the forgiveness of sins, and heaven is their home.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Our series on the Lutheran Confessions continues with Pastor Paul McCain on the other side of the break. We introduced Luther's small catechism. Now it's time to get into the content of the First and Second Commandments. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008 for a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more. We'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation. And we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly seat us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.